You are also reminded that any inappropriate remarks or jokes concerning security may result in your arrest. We appreciate your cooperation while these measures are in effect.
Let's start with the common interest. Establishing the common interest is easy if you're informed. And if the people around you aren't informed, then your job is clear. Inform them. Whether you consider yourself a liberal or conservative or none of the above, the bankers and the corporations which hold the puppet strings of the state have placed us all on a path that leads to complete and total destruction. Our common interest is the world that we're leaving our children. The clear vision of what we're working towards is much harder. Again, there's nothing more dangerous than armed men with utopian dreams. And there's no greater symptom of utopianism than the illusion that we can convince the entire world to accept one monolithic belief system. Yet, at the same time, all great movements are driven by an idea. They are driven by a vision. How do we resolve this apparent contradiction? How do we find a common vision without falling for the naive fantasy that we can unify all worldviews? The answer is actually pretty simple. And that's a good thing, because only very simple ideas can be transmitted from person to person without breaking down. Our vision must start with the foundational understanding that there's not one single right way for humans to live on this planet, and that it is unacceptable to force others into any system without their consent, or to use violence or coercion to compel them to obey a set of rules that they never agreed to. That should just be common sense, but it's really not for most people. Most people like to use government thugs to enforce their good intentions. They just don't like it when it comes home to roost and the gun is pointed in their face. When the current system falls, there's going to be no way to reconstitute it in its old shape and size without violence and coercion, and even that probably wouldn't work. Therefore, the only real ethical option is to accept that Humpty Dumpty isn't going to be put back together again. When it's time to rebuild, we don't need to figure out one system that everybody can fit under. Rather, we need to figure out an approach which facilitates multiple systems side by side.
It's a little cheerful little ditty in the event of an apocalypse. Apocalypse. This is a political tune that I wrote last summer. I'm not given to writing political tunes. I never figured I'd still be singing this one this late. But here's the tune anyhow. If you want to sing along, please keep it to yourself. This is, I'd like you to stand for the opening bars. This is a little tune, Let It All Fall Down. Sing the song for the wrong and the wicked and the strong and the sick as thick as thieves. For the faceless fear that was never so near, too clear to misbelieve. Well, the sea is jumping salty, and the porpoise has the blues. My recollection's faulty, and I cannot find my shoes. And my wiring is misfiring due to cigarettes and booze. I'm behind in my dues. I just now got the news. He seems to tell us lies, and still we will believe him then. Together he will lead us into darkness, my friends. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. The man says, stand to one side, son. We got to keep the big ball rolling. It's just a question of controlling for whom the bell is tolling. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. But there'll be suffering and starvation in the streets, young man. Well, just where have you been, old man? Just look out of your window, man. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Well, it ain't nobody's fault but our own. Still, at least we might could show the good sense to know when we've been wrong. And it's already taken far too long now. So we bring it to a stop, then we take it from the top. We let it settle on down softly, like you're gently falling snow. Or let it tumble down and topple like the temple long ago. But let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. I keep hollering timber, timber, I hope it don't fall on me. I'm hollering timber, whoa, timber, let it all fall down. Well, let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Together, let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down.
Beginning in 1968, I started working in the Amazon, and since then I've lived with and worked with indigenous cultures all over this planet. Every one of them has a prophecy that we have now arrived at a time for the potential of tremendous transformation. And the one that I like the best, because I think it's the most succinct and eloquent in a way, is that of the condor and the eagle. And this comes out of the Amazon way back thousands and thousands of years ago. Nobody has any idea of when this prophecy started, but it worked its way up into the Andes and up into the Central America, the Mayan, Aztec cultures, and up into the Hopi culture, and right up through North America, across the Bering Straits. You find remnants of it in the Asian steppes. And it basically says that back in the midst of history, human societies decided to go on two different paths. One was the path of the condor, which is really the path of the heart, of the intuition, of the feminine path, if you want to. And the other was the path of the eagle, which is the path of the mind, of the science, of the industrial, perhaps you could say even of the masculine. And they went their separate routes. And then at one period of history, it was forecast, thousands of years ago, it was prophesied that during what is known as the Eighth Pachacuti, a Pachacuti is a 500-year period, which would begin in the 1490s, the eagle peoples would become so powerful that they would practically drive the condor people into extinction. And we know this happened. After Columbus, the industrial people, those people of science, practically drove the indigenous people into extinction. But the prophecy goes on to say that during the next Pachacuti 500-year interval, beginning in the 1990s, we would arrive at a time with the potential for the two to come together, for the eagle and the condor to fly in one sky, to mate, to dance together, and to create a whole new level of consciousness. And so we're in that time now. The prophecies don't say that it will happen. They say that we are at this time of potential. And so it's up to us to make it happen.
If there is one single fatal systems error in human civilization, it's the illusion that as human beings, we are somehow separate from the natural world. In reality, we're part of nature, not apart from it. But is there also more to the story? Almost all indigenous traditions, our old-growth cultures, describe the sacred geography of a world where everything is alive and related. They make no separation between matter and spirit. We are part of a much larger intelligence embodied in all life and in the universe.
In the reality of many realities, how we see what we see affects the quality of our reality.
We are these memories running through your veins, racing across your mind, beating in your heart. We are
children of earth and sky. DNA, descendant, now ancestor. Human being, physical spirit, bone, flesh, blood, as spirit.
We are in time and space, but we are from beyond time.
space. The past is part of the present. The future is part of the present. Life and being are interwoven.
In a universe of beings intimately related, the biosphere is our family. And that family has family values. And the family values of this American land, the traditional family values of this American land, are gratitude, respect for nature's cycles, the sacred, harmony, and above all, reciprocity. Don't take something without giving something back.
Truly restoring the earth will not be achieved with technical solutions alone. It also demands a change of heart, a fearless exploration of what it means to be a whole human being, who we are, how we are, where we belong, and what we're responsible for.
We seriously need to examine our perception of reality, because everything that happens and unfolds is through perception. So reality is, all right, but then reality is also as we perceive it. And so for the damage that the human beings are causing to the life entity of Earth, that's the disease, because our perception of reality is not synchronized to the reality of reality.
Prototype people, rigid suit trolls near brain dead, under for spacious skies gathering storm clouds, rule of law, a falling axe in stormtroopers' hands, cruel class deceivers claim God for their side, making up stories with places for meanings to hide. Dracula drinks deeply while nourishing his trap, the love of mankind in alluring narcotic rap.
Babel.
Sex
Babel
does love, sex is life, and sex meant death. Homosexual needles as if laboratories don't exist. Bacterial warfare, AIDS, testament to death man's kiss. Drug master using drugs to blame poverty and crime. Money master cashes in on the people's golden light. Skulls and crossbones uniformly waiting in time. Raging peace, stone Satan spoiling for the fight. In wars for souls, prophets are in casualties, spilling scenes from fables and other realities. Tinted eyes. Concepts of love possess concepts of love. Growing up fears traveling faster than light. Love is as blind as the people who see. Emotional playgrounds intense as battleground. User words for protection leave a hollow sound. The prince and the maiden don't stand a chance. A fiddler plays, but they're too confused to dance. Their love was smooth, then the love was rough. The lessons of living didn't teach them enough. There's the man, the woman, and all those dualities, the material, the fables and other realities.
Fables, they are not men and no way. Reality, reality, they are not men and no way.
While the mute proclaimed the glories, deaf man listened closely as he danced. Seeing into pictures blind man painted. Mother Goose and the Brothers Grimm laugh knowingly up their sleeves. Grown-ups are the children's children, captured and taught what to believe, sampling fables and other realities.
Fables, fables, they are
to resynchronize our individual collective realities, we need to recognize who we are. And I think that that's not happening right now. I think that we've been programmed and distorted and had programmed perceptions of reality put into our imagination and our intelligence that were deliberately put there so that we would not recognize who we are. Because then the chaos of our lives is much easier to perpetuate and create. People are rushing out of political urgencies and economic urgencies and desperations, rushing to create movement that in the long run is not really moving anything. We went through some motion, but we didn't in the end really get anywhere. And I say that because my whole life I've seen the activists, social conscious, I've seen the good, we'll call the good guys, but the bad guys are still the bad guys, and the good guys are more desperate than they ever were. See, so something's missing. You know, and I know our intentions and our motives are good, our ideals, I know all that's good. So what exactly is it that's missing? And I think that the missing part is that we don't recognize ourselves, and because we don't recognize the reality of who we are, we don't recognize power. So I think we really need to understand who we are as human beings and the reality of what it means to be a human being, because any relationships we have to the reality of power itself, the way reality has defined it, isn't through that relationship of human being being human.
I'm a member of the Society of Indian Psychologists, and at one of our gatherings a number of years ago, one of the students had taken on as a project to go back and interview her grandmother. She was Navajo. And she asked her grandmother if her grandmother could remember any old Navajo insults. What would a really insulting thing be to say in the old way? And her grandmother thought for a really long time, and she said, well, it would be translated, he acts as if he has no relatives.
The worst Navajo insult is to accuse someone of living as if they have no relatives. The concern is that the dominant modern view of ourselves is fundamentally separate, of our individual isolation, of our not being related, may be killing us. This is the concern coming from indigenous communities today.
Relationship, I guess, is what is really fundamental to our existence. So often you'll hear us call the winds our grandfathers, or you'll hear us call the thunder and the lightning our grandfathers, and the moon our grandmother, and the sun our eldest brother, and the earth our mother, and the earth our grandmother. We say that because it denotes a relationship of love, a very close relationship of appreciation. That's how Native people kept their relationships with the earth itself.
I really believe that a culture that is disconnected from nature goes insane. A people who have no direct connection to nature lose their minds. Whereas if we make nature the center of our lives, it's a very different relationship. We make sacred the things that we think support us. So these are the things we've made sacred.
Everyone's a winner, bargains galore. That's right, you two can be the proud owner. The quality goes in before their name goes on. One-tenth of a dollar, one-tenth of a dollar. We got service after the sale. How about perfume? We got perfume. How about an engagement ring? Some for the little lady, some for the little lady, some for the little lady. $3-4. We got a year-end clearance, we got our white sale, and a smoke-damaged furniture, you can drive it away today. Act now, and receive as our gift to you. They come in all colors, one size fits all. No muss, no fuss, no spills, you tired of kitchen drudgery, everything must go. Going out of business, going out of business, going out of business sale. 50% off original retail price, skip the middleman. Don't settle for less. How do we do it? How do we do it? Volume, volume, turn up the volume. You heard it advertised. Don't hesitate. Don't be caught with your drawers down. Don't be caught with your drawers down. You can step right up. Step right up. That's right, if a lazy chops, dice and slice, never stops. Lasts a lifetime, mows your lawn. And it mows your lawn, and it picks up the kids from school. It gets rid of unwanted facial hair. It gets rid of embarrassing age spots. It delivers a pizza. And it lengthens, and it strengthens. And it finds that slipper that's been at large under the chaise lounge for several weeks. And it plays a mean rhythm master. It makes excuses for unwanted lipstick on your collar. And it's only a dollar. Step right up. Forges your signature, not completely satisfied. Mail back unused portion of product for complete refund of price of purchase. Step right up. Please allow 30 days for delivery. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. You can live in it, laughing it, loving it, swimming it, sleeping it, living it, swimming it, laughing it, loving it. Removes embarrassing stains from contour sheets. That's right. And it entertains visiting relatives. It turns a sandwich into a banquet. In the life of the party, change your shorts, change your life, change your life, change into a 9-year-old Hindu boy, get rid of your wife, and it walks your dog, and it doubles on sacks, doubles on sacks, you can jump back, jack, see you later, alligator, see you later, alligator, and it steals your car, it gets rid of your gambling debts, it quits smoking, it's a friend, it's a companion, it's the only product you will ever need, follow these easy assembly instructions, it never needs ironing. Well, it takes weights off hips, bust, thighs, chin, midriff, gives you dandruff, and it finds you a job. It is a job. And it strips the phone company, free tapes, and trial exchange. And it gives you denture breath. And you know it's a friend, and it's a companion. And it gets rid of your traveler's checks. It's new, it's improved, it's old-fashioned. Well, it takes care of business, never needs binding, never needs binding, never needs binding. Gets rid of blackheads, heartbreakers, psoriasis, Christ. You don't know the meaning of heartbreak, buddy. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Cause it's effective, it's defective. It creates household odors, it disinfects, it sanitizes for your protection. It gives you an erection, it wins the election. Why put up with painful coins any longer? It's a redeemable coupon, no obligation, no salesman will visit your home. We got a jackpot, jackpot, jackpot. Prizes, 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 all work guaranteed. How do we do it? 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 We need your business. We're going out of business. We'll give you the business. Get on the business end of all. Going out of business sale. Receive all. Free brochure. Free brochure. Read the easy to follow assembly instructions. Batteries not included. Send before midnight tomorrow. Terms available. Step right up. Step right up. Step right up. You got it, buddy. A large print giver and a small print taker away. Step right up. You can step right up. Cause you can step right up. Come on, step right up. Get away from me. Step right up.
Sell you no return ticket. No, don't you worry about that. We is going one way and we ain't coming back.
Come on, girl, come on. Come on, girl.
Us. We are lost, we are neurotic to the core, we are neurotic, and if you join us, we all can be a neurotic harmony.
Is there anybody out there?
We are lost, come with us, we are lost.
But there's a conflict in that a farming people are terrified of the wild.
Anybody out there?
A hunter-gatherer people, a foraging people, the wild is what sustains them. But when you're an agricultural people, the wild is where the deer come from and eat your crops, and the bugs come from and eat your crops, and the bears come and tear down your fences. And those wild people out there come. And Sitting Bull and his people had no use for our laws. I mean, there was nothing, and by our, I mean people of European descent, my ancestors, had no use for these laws. There was nothing that the U.S. government or agriculture could offer them. They really were the freest people in the world. And that is a frightening concept to an agricultural people. People you can't control, you have nothing to offer them, and so we exterminate them. That's pretty much our response to that. So what this transition from hunter-gatherer to agriculture really was our domestication. We domesticated a lot of plants and a lot of animals, but we're the most domesticated species of all. I mean, my dog is way wilder than I am. I'm a lot more tame.
Do you feel it in the sunshine? Do you feel it in the rain? Do you feel it in the ocean when the waves are clean? Do you feel it in the evenings when the moon is up? Do you feel it in your bones when it fills you up? Oh yeah, yeah. Spree's good luck. Mother Earth, Mother Earth.
Thank you.
If we look at the spread of agriculture, agriculture arose in a bunch of different places around the planet in different ways, but the principal center for it was in the Middle East, and this was grain agriculture here. And grain agriculture is a particularly aggressive form of agriculture. If you're growing yams or even corn or beans or squash or something like that, you can just poke a few seeds or tubers in the ground kind of in any little clear spot and they'll probably do just fine. With grains, you really need to clear the soil, till the soil, and it requires a good bit of processing as well. So it requires large areas that are devoted really to nothing but grains, as opposed to something like a potato or squash or anything like that that just sort of trail up around the existing vegetation. So it's a clear-cut type of agriculture. It really requires a very aggressive treatment. It also spreads very easily because you clear the ground. You can do it almost anywhere, right? You can clear the ground and anywhere the climate will permit your grains to grow, you can grow them there. And what grain agriculture really means is you can store it better than almost any other form of food. You can store it for a long time, you dry it and store it. So this means you get a storable surplus, and this is another huge game changer. When you can store a surplus of something, all these other things begin to happen that are prompted by that, that are made necessary because of it. The first is when you've got, you're storing food over the winter, you need a place to store it. You need a technology, you need buildings. You also need someone to make sure it doesn't get stolen. You need, police or security or goons or whoever it is, somebody. So you need a security state to protect it. You need someone to parcel it out, and this is the Lord, and actually the Lord of the Manor, kind of the origin of the English word, the old English word Lord is Hlaford, which is literally loaf ward, the keeper of the loaf, the keeper of the grain. That's the origination of the word Lord, is the keeper of the grain. So it's literally the person who controls your food supply is the Lord, the earthly Lord. You need accountants to measure it, to make sure it's all divvied up fairly or according to the rules, which means you need rules to regulate who gets it and when, how it's divided out, and you need punishment for people who disobey these rules. So this whole set of hierarchical regulations and powers comes out of a storable surplus. So it's a pretty dangerous thing that horticultural, meaning pre-agricultural or non-agricultural people, and hunter-gatherers don't have anywhere near as much. Their hierarchies are much flatter.
They came in the night and they came in the day. They came till they took it all away. And all they left was a background. No life can be found. Didn't give a reason and they didn't say why. Millions of trees had to die. In the name of progress was all they'd say.
step aside and get out of my way. What I wanna know is where we gonna go when the rain don't make our garden grow and the soil's too dry for our seeds to sow. I've long till we learn you play with fire and you're sure to burn. One way ticket with a no return. Cause where we gonna go? Well, I don't know. They tell us technology's a wonderful thing. Stop to imagine the destruction it brings. One step forward and two steps back. Go from the light and into the black. They feed us with lies and they treat us like fools. Don't stop to realize it's a game we all lose. On the road to self-destruction with every step we take. Ship sinking fast and no escape. Threat to all below and our pollution stops our rivers flow. It's time you and me we take responsibility. It's a fragile world in dire need. Cause where we gonna go? Well, I don't know. Spending money finding life on Mars doesn't make any sense to me. I try to live at the bottom of the ocean. Some things are not meant to be. What I wanna know is where we gonna go when the oceans rise and the strong winds blow and the temperature melts the ice and snow. Time to wait won't be long and it'll be too late. In this together and we're all at stake. Cause where we gonna go? I don't know.
There are concepts we need to be examining, and like the idea of freedom, I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all. You know, because I don't think life is about freedom. I've come to that conclusion. Life isn't about freedom. Life is about being free and responsibility. And there's a difference between being free and freedom. You live in this illusionary conceptual freedom, but you don't feel free. So obviously there is a difference. And you go to the vast majority of human beings, citizens, all right, that live in this conceptual freedom, how many of them feel free? How many of them feel free from economic threat? How many of them feel free that, well, I'm going to be taken care of when I get old, or if I get sick, you know, it's going to be okay? How many of them feel free from what would be just called crime? How many of them feel free from being in a secure relationship because they know they found it in their relationships? So in this whole land of freedom, nobody feels free. But we've been programmed to rah-rah the chant, freedom, 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 freedom. And now we come back in, and the most basic part of that is that for me to stand and say I believe in freedom, then that means that predator, that racist, that pedophile, all right, that land raper, they have the freedom. Because who am I to say they don't have the freedom? See, so maybe life isn't about freedom. Maybe life is about responsibility. No maybe to it. Life is about responsibility. As human beings, we were given intelligence. And this is how we manifest our power. That gift was a gift of responsibility. We have a responsibility to use our intelligence clearly and coherently. And when we understand that responsibility, then we will be free. I'm not saying oppressors go. I'm talking about being free. Freedom.
creating that energy, individual, collective energy, mass of being free, then that automatically changes everything.
See, so we really need to understand that that's our power, not the economic, religious, political, social system. We don't really have power in there. We're just in there. Our power is in us.
Sooner or later, we'll dig up your cellar, the site of murder. We'll be the leader, sooner or later, we'll dig up your cellar. calls for ruin is glory denied, and violence is not virtuous. The things you do are hurting us. Violence is not virtuous. The things you do are hurting us. Treat me.
This and all previous episodes are available for download from our MP3 archive at unwelcomeguests.net/archive. Our theme tune is by Billy Bragg and Wilco, with lyrics by Woody Guthrie. I hope this show has put you closer in touch with your beating heart and helped you to cough up a few cogs and wheels. And as always, I value any feedback at unwelcome@unwelcomeguests.net. Just like everybody.